if you wear Oakley glasses or you had any Oakley stuff in the last 20 years, it's because of this guy.
If you stick with making people fall in love with getting wind in their face and doing something healthy, yeah, it all comes. Everyone in their business, they do things unconsciously and they don't know what their craft is. They just do it by breathing. Mm-hmm. And in my case, to identify trends and capitalize on them is something that I love to do. I'm always curious. I know that what works yesterday or today is not necessarily going to work tomorrow.
Hey folks, welcome. This is Fun BMC Podcast, episode 6. I am like super excited. I got my friend Blick here. So for folks that don't know, I'll give you a little bit of background. I'm wearing an Oakley shirt. If you wear Oakley glasses or you've had any Oakley stuff in the last 20 years, it's because of this guy. And he won't say that, and most people won't say that, but Steve Blick is the guy who literally put these glasses on the map, put them in the hands of the athletes all over the world. I mean, I remember pictures of like you handing a pair of glasses to Julian in the middle of a race, like literally giving him the product placement in the middle of a race. Obviously the Tour de France glasses, the yellow glasses that we all know and love, that's you. I mean, I can go on and on, but like as far as sports marketing, brand marketing, building a brand from basically nothing to a huge multi-billion dollar company.
Well, you've done it. Thank you. No, I can't take the credit, but thank you.
You were the guy. Well, everybody in the industry knows that you're the guy.
And I'll give that attribute to that to listening and learning and being curious and asking how the brand got to where it was. Yeah. So you got to remember Oakley's more than 20 years old.
Sure.
You know, yeah. The last 18 years of my life are what framed me up to who I am. Mm-hmm. And we all, you know, love Oakley.
Yeah.
Oakley's awesome. Yeah. But to get there, I had to respect the history too.
Right.
I also grew up as the same fan as you. Mm. I grew up with the brand being something that all of my heroes used.
It's a BMX brand. They had the goggles and
absolutely, yeah, it's grips. There's an army of people who worked under one main visionary. His name's Jim Jannard.
Right.
Jim is the one that I love to tell the stories about, because if you know much about Oakley, you're going to learn that it's a rebellious brand. Mm-hmm. And it starts with its leader, who basically was a pharmacy school dropout. And he decided he wanted to make his own product. He, mm-hmm, was a sales rep, wanted to make his own product, and couldn't stand the status quo of the way he was living. So he, right, wanted to do his own thing, right, just like any entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But long story short is he came up with an idea, named it after his dog. Yep. It was a grip. It resonated with his passion that was motocross, which transcended over to BMX, bicycle motocross. And that's where my generation, we all had to have an Oakley grip, or you just weren't cool.
Yeah, I didn't
and,
have one.
I had a paper route, got my bike, and made sure there were Oakley grips, yeah, on it. And long story short is that they've always taken a really cool approach to the way they market and the, mm-hmm, way they make products. And at the end of the day, it was authentic.
Yeah.
And that's what I live by. Just, yep, it's really the easiest thing to remember is the truth. And
that's right.
The truth was that they didn't shortcut anything. And I've heard stories, and I've seen myself, that some of these products that we praise, I've seen sit behind a door,
yeah,
for 7 years at a time. Where some people have product cycles where like, okay, here's the roadmap, and let's get ready, and you know, we're going to this phase and this phase, yeah, and we're going to take it to market. And at Oakley, they basically, when Jim was running the show, nothing got out the door without him saying okay. Mm-hmm. And I can stop me if I go too deep in this, but let's just say that the culture of the brand back in the days before it changed hands,
yeah,
amazing. All that product is essentially collectible. Mm-hmm. And there's fanatics that, yeah, chase that stuff down. So for me, being able to be the one to work with those teams and to bring it to the world stage, that's an honor. And my focus is to just honor those people who worked hard behind the scenes
yeah.
to give that project or projects the respect it deserves. And we can go way on
to beyond,
but it was a good time.
Yeah.
And yes, it shaped me to who I am. And yeah, and now I'm looking at new fun projects to take some of those skills and help more people fall in love with our sport. We're approaching a time that cycling was a little bit, you know, beat up over, you know, different situations of, you know, is road cycling hot? Is it not? Is mountain biking? It was going through an identity crisis. Mm. And then it's very noisy in the marketplace as well. There are competition coming in.
Yep.
We had our patents from some of our proprietary patents that we had expiring. And we're at a point where we had to reinvent ourselves and step up our game and protect our selling area. And also we had a retail area that was underperforming. So I was thrown the task to, hey, what can you do to help out an Oakley retail store and activate your people?
Mm.
So we went a couple, basically we looked at the calendar. We saw May is bike month.
Yep.
Bike to work week, it's spring, everyone's out, it's time to get in shape. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at, basically came up with these wild ideas, and I looked at everything and I put together all these dots. And that's what I like to do, is I look for ways to get people on bikes, get them stoked, keep it fun. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to get them to fall in love with riding bikes.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we...
So wait, let me stop you there. You said the goal is to get them to fall in love with riding bikes, not necessarily to buy your products.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like when I deal with young athletes that, you know, are looking for that, you know, making it as an athlete and getting sponsored.
Sponsorship.
The one thing I like to challenge is a young athlete who's sponsored and they think they've made it.
Yeah.
And I always challenge them.
Just getting started.
I go, well, I'll ask you, what's your job as an athlete?
Yeah.
What is it? Tell me.
Well, I'm not an athlete, but your job as an athlete is to represent, you know, yourself, right? Your values and what you believe in. Work with the right partners. No?
Failed.
Really? I'm not an athlete.
Your answer is correct to what most people would say.
Yeah.
Your job is to make little kids want to ride bikes.
Wow.
That's it. ABCs. Just make little kids want to ride bikes. They let their parents know. They're outside. It's less cars. It's exercise. And if you stick with making people fall in love with getting wind in their face and doing something healthy, it all comes. And we can go back into all that later. But then the thing to think about the most is getting people to do things for the right reason and align it.
Yep.
So back to what we're doing with Bike Month is I had an opportunity. Working for Oakley isn't about cycling. It's not a cycling brand as much as you and I love bikes.
Right.
We're in a little teeny tiny bubble.
Sure, yeah.
And a lot of you guys watching this, maybe you've seen the Tour de France and heard of a few of the guys that do well, but we're in a little bubble.
Yeah, there are a lot of athletes.
So I had the opportunity to work for this mega big brand, mm-hmm. and the relationships I've gained over all these years allowed me to pull all the levers and pull it together. Yeah. I took my hometown, San Francisco, pulled together the leaders of the bike community, the guys at MASH, and, you know, the media, like the Radivist, they showed up. And
John was there.
And then pulled together a surprise. So the strategy was to basically activate a well-known athlete for the San Francisco event, make a big deal, and get everyone fired up on Oakley through the Oakley store. We did a few activities there. Yep. You probably got a bottle that gave you a discount on it. And when it came back, you can get something at a price that was special.
Yep.
And then we ended up exposing everyone to the experience that we all love, which mm-hmm. is probably a new experience to you, mm-hmm. like the way we rode and hitting the dirt. So that happened. But the plan was to use this ride to check the box of activating the community and the retail, and then open our eyes and listen for the conversation about it, the buzz, because this was a social media activation as well.
That's right.
So social media is kind of new and emerging, but you know, thankfully to Dylan Casey, who's one of my former athletes, he was one of those first guys that he's my life coach to the social platform. And so he got me in on it, and I'm always curious about new ways to connect with people. So we listened to the conversation about the May Day ride. Yep. And then we found you. You had done something very authentic, and whatever it was that you actually rose up. And I remember getting, you know, we went from the May Day ride immediately to the Tour of California, to where it's I went from San Francisco.
Yeah.
I had to get myself up to Sacramento and start managing all the athletes that were coming in and checking in and getting everyone dialed. Your name came up, and they say, hey, do you know this person? I'm like, I do remember that person. He was great. Do it. Pick him. We wanted to do what we call a surprise and delight. And that's a trendy marketing tactic that a lot of people have done.
But again, this is 5 years ago.
But I had the control.
Social media, like all of this stuff was new and exciting. And now we call it experiential marketing and all this other stuff. We have terms for these things now. And so I love that statement about kids. I feel stupid from getting that answer wrong because I'm not a marketing guy. But for us, the real joy of
I would say marketing people know that actually.
Yeah.
No. That's just me.
No.
That answer, we could go ask 10 marketing people. I bet they'd all fail.
Right, because they're always talking about the product and the features and the thing and the that and the thing. And like, so it doesn't matter. Because for us, the best part about the bike is the joy that it brings you. Well, and it brings you back to that childhood feeling.
You know, a lot of people went to school, they got their MBA and master's mm-hmm. for marketing, but mm-hmm. I got a street PhD by just listening and learning school how people knocks. Want. And I figured it out that you really, to be successful, you just got to be passionate, inspirational, and break it down so your mom understands it.
Yeah.
It's really the win. And then when it comes to marketing, you really do. You got to chop it down to where your mom gets it. Sometimes you try as a young kid, you're generations ahead in some of the technology and whatnot, and try to explain to your mom what you want.
Right.
Like, I want this video game. It's the X, Y, and Z. But if you go, Mom, I want a video game that's going to help me do this and that, and I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
And You just kind of scrape the sludge out of all the technology and the noise.
Yeah.
And that's really what it boils down to. When it comes to a win in marketing, you just want people to fall in love with something that's going to help them be better.
Yeah.
And in the case of MySpace is fitness and health and in reducing your footprint and sustainability and things like that. So it's good parenting to teach kids the difference between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. And the fundamental of in the cycling space is just get people on bikes. Because when I grew up, you would know where all the kids were in the neighborhood by the piles of bikes on the lawn. Like, oh, they're all in that house right there.
I'm gonna go there.
Right now, everyone's sitting on screens. You don't know where they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's actually, it's funny because now we're looking at the people, you know, on online cycling. You don't know where the bikes are. They're inside the houses behind screens.
That's right.
So the point is, there's people behind screens though. We actually now have to go chase after the people hiding behind screens.
Yeah.
In this case, thanks to smart trainers, we got people to connect with on screens as well. If you don't have the trust and respect, you could just be the hot dog vendor that gives out the product and you'll never go too far. But in this case, I made it 18 years in a lot of different cycles. And I found that a lot of the athletes that I did the right thing for, thank my mom. She just said, treat people the way you want to be treated, do things the right reason. Yeah. And if you don't know someone, say, hi, my name is Steve. What's yours?
Yeah.
So I've made authentic relationships, not just working with people, but people I'm really close with. And with all that said, it gave me the ability to spot talent by listening to who people are talking about.
Right.
And learning a little bit about what people would say, like, oh, this person's good, but, or they could do this better.
Yeah.
And I would adopt these relationships and mentor these writers.
Yeah. You know,
people that had something that needed to be smoothed out and sharpened up, I would soft pedal in, use some cycling lingo. We won't push too hard, just like find the timing approach to help nurture that relationship, ultimately humanizing brands with the lives of people so they understand and intimately connect what they do within the sport to the relationship with the sponsorship or the brands that they're working with. And it's something that's all by feel. Everyone in their business, they do things unconsciously and they don't know what their craft is. They just do it by breathing. And in my case, to identify trends and capitalize on them is something that I love to do. I'm always curious. I know that what works yesterday or today is not necessarily going to work tomorrow. So I'm always open. And there's an old quote from Walt Disney that you can look up, but it basically talks about curiosity, opening doors, trying new paths. But I think the most important thing is listening. So I like to listen, look for things that are missing, find out what can be better. I do have a catalog of what's worked well. And then matching up relationships. Like, Greg Aumond, someone that everyone respects, and a young athlete that was inspired to LeMond, you see them standing together, but they don't know each other. You go, Chaz, Greg. Greg, this is Chaz. And we did that. And I took Chaz and Greg and we did a ride on our own. And it was just fun to watch that, the king of street culture and the king of winning championships. They're the same. They put their pants on one leg at a time, and just matching people up to team up and make more people fall in love with pushing boundaries.
Yeah. So yeah, we should talk about like this kind of IRL riding. Like I like riding with people. I connect with people on rides, but I haven't really tried Zwift and things like that because I feel like you lose some of that camaraderie. Like you lose some of that personal connection. But on the flip side, my son plays Fortnite almost every night. And like he has some really strong relationships with his friends from school. And it's through the game, it's not through school, because in school they kind of sit there and they listen to the teacher. But in the game, they're hanging out. Like it's their socialization. So my wife doesn't understand. She's like, oh, why do they play video games all the time? It's like, it's not a video game. Fortnite is not a video game. It's their social network.
Yeah. And when I was learning about the first days of Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and then Mark Mastroff, he's the Steve Jobs of the fitness world. He started 24 Hour Fitness. He was one of my first sponsors, and we're friends. And he's mentors me on, insights of, how to be successful and different things. I remember a day that he said, hey, I'm investing in this little project. You should check it out. It's called Strava. And at that point, nobody even knew what that was. But I quickly learned, I looked at it, and no one knew or cared too much about it. But I learned that what it was is social, like social media and fitness. And I coined the social fitness.
Yep.
And so Strava is the very, very beginning. To me, my understanding would be social fitness is what Strava is.
It is, yeah.
And now, I'm talking to other champions that I'm friends with that have moved over to different parts of the country with bad weather. Mike King is a world champion, BMX and mountain biker. And he's living on the East Coast. It's cold. And he's on Zwift. And he loves it. And he's like the cool guy that everyone knows is the downhill champ. Yeah. And in the beginning, he's like, I don't know. I want the real thing. Mm-hmm. I want to move my bike and win in my face. But now he's completely following training schedules.
Yeah.
He shared stories about people he rides with yeah. that have maybe got taken out in a crash and yeah. they've disappeared off the group ride. But then they can find him on Zwift on his bike, use the companion yeah. app, you find people.
Yeah.
So they're bringing people back together. There's some people that basically maybe get a job or yeah. they don't have the ability to go and do the group ride anymore, yeah. but they're finding each other socially.
It's crazy.
And sharing. And then there's, you know, you can speak to each other and you yep. can message each other. Yep. And so social fitness. It's
social
amazing.
Fitness. Yeah, that's definitely Strava is one of the first in that category. And they were one of my clients a long time ago when I was doing recruiting, when I first started recruiting. Strava back then was still a relatively small startup. Now they're huge and they've got, I don't know, 50 million users or something crazy like that. Obviously I'm still a Strava user. I think the thing that Strava and other social networks and Zwift now, the thing that they're all building, and this is something I think you can speak about, because everybody's trying to do this and it's becoming a very popular thing in the tech world. We talk about community, and community is basically gathering people together, putting your tribe together.
Yeah.
It has to be authentic, because you can't just walk into a community and be like, hey kids, like, you know, that classic meme of like, hey fellow kids, how are you? And it's like some old dude, right? Like, you have to actually understand the community, that particular sport, maybe in this case, or that particular user,
yeah.
right? Like, I know in Zwift, I talked to a guy on the East Coast, and they all started Zwifting because of the bad weather. But what he found is, like, he found this community of dads, because they're all new dads. And the thing, if you're a new dad, like, you have no time. So yeah. riding is the first thing that goes out the door, right? Literally, like, I stopped riding, you know, 12 years ago. I don't know. You probably still ride a lot with your kids. But dads were using Zwift. And this is early days of Zwift, before there was racing. It was just a training thing. And, like, you kind of had to make a race. So they had to, like, tell everybody, hey, let's all meet at this time at this place, mm-hmm. right? And that became part of the product now. And Zwift racing is big. But in the early days of Zwift, back in the beta days, like, it was just a place for people to, like, do training and hang out, right?
What I see now is that, I've tried it. I'm not actively using it every yeah. day, but I've tried it
yeah.
to enough to where I'm excited. I've tried it because the smart trainers are pushing against me. And yeah. I'm a climber and I like to push yeah. and suffer. So I got on it and did the Central Park Loop.
Mm.
I got on it and I don't know where all the climbs are, yep. whatnot. So I got on it and I started getting into the resistance pushing on me, and then I had the kicker pushing the front end mm-hmm. up. I had the fan perfectly keeping me some wind on me.
Yeah.
And then I had someone ride right by me and I was burning in my legs.
Yeah.
And instinctually I wanted to catch kill that person.
Yeah.
And I just suffered, and I love it, and I'm gonna keep doing it. And now they got an off-road version.
Yeah.
And I'm super curious about, all right,
yeah,
because now we're going to talk about, like, this is a game, so it's not necessarily only sitting on a trainer in yep. the door, but now they're turning it into a game, and yep. that's where I'm going to keep an eye on it and yeah. see where they go. I know they're still beta testing yep, and all yep, that yep. but
all right, so Steve, like, marketing, sports marketing, like, crazy, crazy, super cool dude, super well connected. A lot of people talk about kind of hard skills and soft skills, and I think Steve has both, which is really rare. His website is Blick Special Projects, and super special dude. I love this guy. I mean, honestly, you're one of the few people in the bike industry that I call a true friend. And I use that hashtag kind of jokingly, kind of ironically on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I like to think that we're friends. And yes. so to sum up Blick Special Projects, he does marketing, activations, community building, all of this stuff for brands, both inside and outside of sports, technology brands, of course, like us. The way you put it on the site, though, it's keep it simple, keep it fun, deliver the goods. Cool. So definitely check out his website. And you're at Blick on Instagram.
It's at Blick on Twitter, which on is Twitter. A little bit, not so much every day,
okay.
But it's at Steve Blick.
At Steve Blick on Instagram.
Yep. And then there's Blick Special Projects yep. on Instagram. But for the most part, if you want to see what I'm up to, check my stories, the poster there as well.
Yeah.
And just keep riding and cool. pushing forward.